Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. As always, we'd like to remind you that on 10:30 every Sunday morning, we have a Zoom fellowship where you can watch this lesson, the meditation, and interact with other Unity folks, have discussion about the lesson, and you know, just enjoy some community. So if you'd like to join that, which we truly invite you to be part of, just check your e-newsletter or your weekly update for the link, the Zoom link. And if you do not get either one of those, you can go to our website at unitycenteroflight.org and sign up so you can be on our mailing list and receive those, the e-newsletter and the weekly update, letting you know everything that's going on. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. So good morning again, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. Now we'll have our daily word reading for today, Sunday, January the 21st. The key word is energetic. And the affirmation is, the limitless energy of spirit flows through me. I smile as I watch children at play. Their boundless energy seems so natural, so effortless. When I want to reclaim this same zeal and enthusiasm for myself, I remember these divine gifts are already within me. Centered in this awareness, I feel renewed vitality. As I take care of my family, move through my workday, enjoy time with dear ones, or volunteer in my community, I engage it all with enthusiasm and feel my energy build. If I feel my enthusiasm faltering, I don't despair. Instead, I pause for a moment to feel the quickening energy of spirit, the divine life and strength that are flowing through me. As I am revitalized, the world feels new. I shimmer with energy and go about doing all I feel called to do. The scripture reading is taken from Colossians 1:11. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So, here we are again, going on another journey, and today's talk is called Prayer, Pray the Way of Your Heart. Okay, and there are going to be some kind of new ways of looking at this idea of prayer, especially as it coincides with the idea of healing. Okay, so the basis of this lesson comes from three different sources: Healing Words, The Power of Prayer, and The Power of Medicine by Dr. Larry Dossey. The Cloud of Unknowing, and the author of that book, Cloud of Unknowing, is unknown, it's anonymous. They assume he was a monk in around the time of the 1371, I think it was. But nobody knows exactly who wrote that book called The Cloud of the Unknowing. And then the third book is Life is for Loving by Eric Butterworth. Most of the lesson comes from the work of Dr. Dossey, his book, Healing Words, The Power of Medicine and the Power of Prayer. Now, he is a medical doctor, but he's not only a medical doctor, he's also a scientist, okay? Now, this is an important distinction because not all doctors are scientists. And in the book, Healing Words, his research is in the scientific application of prayer to healing, and the validity of this application answering the question, does prayer really work? Okay, especially when it comes to healing. But before we get into the power of prayer and healing, Dossie explores the idea that illness, and this is an important thing to bring up because it comes up so much for us, especially in New Thought and Unity, but he explores the idea that illness is not necessarily an indication of a lack of spirituality, okay? And this is what the author expresses as being one of the challenging beliefs of many of the spiritual, many of us who are on a spiritual or religious journey. You know, whether we're New Thought or, you know, traditional religion or whatnot, whatever, it's often causes people who are on the spiritual journey to wonder why they have become ill when they've been so devoted to practicing spiritual and religious ideals in their lives. You know, I've given my life to God, why am I going through this, okay? And we in Unity, as well as other New Thought groups, are famous for asking the unkind, thoughtless question, what is it in your consciousness that has brought this illness on you, okay? And that is truly an unkind and erroneous assumption that because a person is ill, they must have brought it upon themselves, okay? So that's what we want to dispel, that whole illusion. And yes, there are things we do, you know, that cause poor health and certain illnesses. The way we eat, things we eat, the things we do that may bring this illness, these illnesses on us. But we also know that there are other people, others, who may be doing the exact same things that we do and do not experience poor health or illness. See, this is one of the great mysteries of life. And Dr. Dossie points out that history shows, and this kind of blew me away when I read this, that many of the great well-known spiritual masters of the past who have lived profoundly spiritually disciplined lives, reached very high levels of spiritual consciousness, died of devastating diseases like cancer of the pancreas, liver, stomach, and as well as tuberculosis. Now, the one that really got me, it was really puzzling, was the Buddha, you know, the awakened one. He died of food poisoning from eating tainted pork, all right? And one might have thought that, you know, that this exalted Buddha would have had a much different way of going through transition. But as one highly evolved mystic explained, he said, he was asked, you know, how did he, as a great spiritually evolved master, become so sick? He replied, I still have to carry this human body around with me, and it is subject to ordinary human limitations and physical laws. Okay? And so Dossie explains that these accounts should make us question seriously the prevalent assumption that being spiritual is a guarantee of good health. Okay? And we need to release the false notion that poor health and illness implies that we lack a high spiritual consciousness. So both of those are things we're looking to dispel in this lesson. So Dr. Dossie says physical bodies are unmanageable, stubborn entities that are given to some very bad habits, which we all can relate. And they're susceptible to genetic disease, prone to infection, and so on. So bodies, he says, have minds of their own, which do not always accurately represent our psychological and spiritual awareness. Our bodies can act up, break down, get sick, all without consulting us. Right? So the real spiritual experience here, which I admit I feel challenged by as well, is how to choose to interact with the physical challenge that is troubling you in a way that allows you to try to understand what is it trying to tell you, okay? And as you know, our first inclination is to do whatever is necessary to get rid of whatever it is that we're struggling with. You know, have it heal, make it stop. You know, it's almost like going to the doctor and saying, can you fix me? You know, we have this inclination of, we all would probably proclaim, yes, you know, I want to get it over with. I want this done. You know, this thing that I'm going through, I want it to stop. Okay. Now our prayer, you know, may have some form of asking God, you know, why aren't you taking care of this? Okay. Like, as you think about it, you pray, and then, you know, nothing's happening. Your prayer almost becomes like God, why aren't you taking care of this? Why aren't you healing this, whatever this is? And I agree that this is a legitimate request, okay? Why aren't you healing this? A legitimate question. Why aren't you healing me of what I'm going through? I've done all of this to be spiritual, to be religious, and I'm still struggling with this, you know, health issue. And this is what the author calls directed prayer. Okay, when you're saying to God, why aren't you fixing this? He's called like directed prayer. It's asking for a definite, specific outcome, as in, take this, whatever, away from me. Okay, and directed prayer tells God what to do. Okay, again, a legitimate reaction in our present relationship with God, as in, God, this is what I need you to do, and I need you to do it now. You know, that's sort of the mindset. Now, again, directed prayer. That's what's called directed prayer. We're directing God to do this specific thing for us. Okay. But there's also what's called non-directed prayer. And that's what we're really going to focus on. It's the practice of prayerfulness, the practice of being still and listening. Okay, in an article titled Directed versus Non-Directed Prayer, Working with Natural Laws and Life's Creative Process, okay? And this is what the author says. It says, prayer, in its finest and most natural sense, has little to do with directing God to process a human wish list, whether it has everything to do with opening individual and group consciousness to the healing and renewing current of life. Life, God, or whatever you want to call the spiritual energy running this whole show, certainly has no need for the human mind to direct it, okay? So this may cause you to ask, well, then how do I pray in a non-directed prayer manner? A good example of a non-directed prayer, a non-directed state of prayerfulness, is simply to pray, thy will be done. See, no direction. Not trying to tell God what to do. You're just praying, you're holding this prayerful consciousness of thy will be done. You know, we know in Scripture it says the Father knows what you want. Jesus said the Father knows what you want even before you ask. So it's like trying to direct the universe, which is all-knowing, to a specific outcome that could be far less than what is possible for us. So it's much easier to do a non-directed prayer, not directing God, not trying to direct God, by just saying, not thy will be done. And yes, it's true that when there are you know, troubling things going on in our lives and in our bodies, we want to take action and do something about it. But in a consciousness of prayerfulness, we're not demanding anything. Rather, we are listening, asking, what is this health challenge trying to tell me? So to share a personal example, you know, there's a health challenge that I'm dealing with. It began many years ago in October and has reoccurred every 10 years in October. Every 10 years in the 10th month of that year, I experience this very challenging, these challenging symptoms of a health challenge. And it will last for several weeks, and then the symptoms will slowly go away on their own. I'm in the midst of it right now. And didn't realize the 10-year cycle occurrence until my primary doctor brought it to my attention. She told me when it started, 10 years later again, and then 10 years later again, always in October, okay? And because the doctors saw a consistent history of it, I had been put through every medical test you can imagine, all of which demonstrated I am basically in great health, okay? Which is great. But of course, it's baffling to all the specialists because no one can say what is causing my symptoms. Creating this lesson caused me to research, what does the number 10 mean? Now, the short answer, very simple short answer, it is in the realm of numerology, they said the angel number 10 might hold a significant meaning indicating change, growth, or the onset of new beginnings. Now, I also read that the angels use this number to talk to you and counsel you all through your life, especially when things get tough. And I said you in this case because all of us obviously must have an angel number, okay? And I can't tell you much else about the concept because it was new to me when I looked it up. So I've always struggled with the symptoms, which I did this time as well. However, taking a different mental emotional approach based on what I've learned while researching and putting together this lesson, I'm learning how to just be, listen, and learn. And again, I admit, not easy. You know, when I'm struggling and, you know, just wanting to go away, like we all do. But it is slowly becoming easier for me to deal with the symptoms. I'm learning to recognize a symptom without reacting to it. Basically, in the context of this lesson, I have been incorporating the power of the science of medicine in terms of all the medical testing I've gone through. And again, that's the name of the book, you know, Healing Words, the Power of Medicine and the Power of Prayer. So I've been using the power of medicine in terms of the testing and the power of practicing prayerfulness. Thy will be done. In other words, I'm stopped saying, God, please get rid of this. I moved into the idea of thy will be done. And the author explains that prayerfulness is being willing to stand in the mystery of not knowing and tolerate the ambiguity of not knowing. See, you get us? So that's the whole deal, is that, you know, this thy will be done is that you're standing in the mystery. You're not trying to use your own intellect to try to figure out how this is going to happen. You are just standing in the mystery. And for me, I'm really standing in the mystery because not even the medical industry, profession knows what is causing this. And ambiguity means being open to more than just one interpretation, okay? So again, thy will be done, but not thy will be done as this is how I want it done, right? Just purely thy will be done. Again, directing God is not what this is all about. And here is the really hard part of this lesson, okay? When I said in the beginning, there's going to be kind of a new, now, I don't want to call it new, but another way of looking at this process of health and illness, okay? So this is a kind of the really hard part. And I really would like to get some feedback on this, especially in the discussion part of the Zoom service, because it's such a different concept of dealing with this idea. Prayerfulness honors, here it is, prayerfulness honors the rightness of whatever is happening in your life. That for me was mind-blowing. I don't know how that's impacting you. But this whole thing about prayerfulness, which is non-directed prayer, honors the rightness of whatever is happening in your life. The author says, if we allow ourselves to enter the quiet, still place of prayerfulness, we can begin to understand that there is a co-relationship between health and illness. Now, I know. When you first hear that, it sounds crazy, right? But in an article from the NIH, National Library of Medicine, titled Toward a Contemporary Definition of Health, this is what Aristotle shares. It says, Aristotle saw that the striving of humanity was towards being well. Now, we get that. A physical, mental, and spiritual state where life flourishes. A contemporary definition of health recognizes that disease and disability can often coexist with wellness. So in this new conception, health is transformed from a state that requires the absence of disease to a state where the central theme is the fullness of life, right? So health becomes not a static state of being where I'm just healthy all the time, but a dynamic quality of living where body, mind, and spirit are fully employed to make the most of each day. Okay. So this co-relationship is kind of the new way of looking at this process. And as we said earlier in this lesson, our life is a spectrum, a broad range of things that affect our state of being. It's not just one thing, it's a broad range of things that happens. And the important point in what Aristotle is saying is that Health is a dynamic quality of living where life, mind, and spirit are fully employed to make the most of each day. This expands the idea of health beyond the conventional definition of just purely living the healthy life. Okay? And similar to this idea that life is a spectrum, now this was another point that I found really interesting. Similar to this idea that life is a spectrum that incorporates all the aspects of what we experience in our lives, okay? So we're not just always looking for the good things. We're just always, we're open and we're observing all this. And we're staying in a state of prayerfulness, okay? Just open and receptive to the flow of what is happening in our lives. Dr. Dorsey talks about how many New Thought folks express how they visualize being in the pure light, pure white light that God is. Okay, we're saying life is a spectrum. So I want to make this analogy. We visualize being in a pure white light that God is, not realizing that light is white only because it contains all the different color waves, which when brought together, appear to be pure white. Likewise, health, like white light, is also a mixture because our human lives take us through many contrasting experiences. What we call my life is made possible only through contrasting experiences. So health, like light, is not pure, because it contains elements of happiness, love, and joy, as well as sadness, pain, and illness. Okay? However, this does not negate the fact that the activity and the struggle we go through to be healed and be healthy are also part of the natural process of living. Okay? Yes, that health and illness or sadness or whatever can coexist, but we're not saying that it negates the fact that we strive to be healed and we strive to be whole and healthy, okay? The practice of prayerfully honoring the co-relationship between health and illness does not necessarily mean passively accepting disease without a fight, okay? Like I'm doing now, okay? I'm basically a healthy person, but I have these bouts with this thing I struggle with, and so I'm incorporating medicine and prayer, okay? Working the two together. You know, so what we're exploring in this lesson is that while you are striving to heal from a health issue, you want to maintain an awareness that can lead to insights that transcend the presence or absence of illness. And you want to generate an understanding that could be called higher health. Now let me say that again. Okay, what we're doing is we want to maintain an awareness that can lead to insights that transcend the presence or absence of illnesses. Okay, we don't want to just be stuck in the fact we're going through some kind of a physical struggle, a health struggle. We want to be able to transcend the presence of or absence, okay, of illness and generate an understanding that could be called higher health. Now, higher health being the knowledge that health and illness can coexist even though they are seemingly a contradiction, okay? Each exists to teach us something more and deeper about ourselves. So higher health is what we want to eventually be able to embrace, a higher level of health. Yes, much of this is a mystery to us, which is the purpose of living the prayerful life, okay? That's the whole thing about that. That's what the whole book of the Cloud of Unknowing is about, is that they're just things we don't know, okay? And we don't even know we don't know them because we have no idea of the divine possibilities. We constantly have questions about our life. Even in our healthiest and most prosperous times, we're questioning our life, okay? This is the mystery we live, the mystery we're trying to understand. And as the anonymous author of the book, The Cloud of Unknowing, explains, he says that contemplative prayer shows us that a dialogue with the mystery in our life is not only possible, but is in fact the work of the soul that most pleases God. Okay. And in conjunction with that, we read in Jeremiah 33:3 that the Lord said, call to me and I will answer you. And listen to this. And tell you great and unsearchable things about yourself you do not know. Let me say that again. Jeremiah 33:3. The Lord says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things, things you would not know how to look for about yourself that you do not know. Okay? And the calling this is referring to is actually no calling. The calling in Scripture is actually no calling. Rather, that occurs when we maintain a state of prayerfulness. Okay, when I'm in a state of prayerfulness, this calling is really a no calling. I am open and receptive to God's living Spirit of truth. Okay. Now, one source, and when I say a source, it's because I don't remember where I got it from, says, contemplative prayer is when you use your mind and heart, and sometimes your imaginative ability to recognize God's presence in your life and affairs, and then fix your gaze on that divine presence. Contemplative prayer seeks to achieve a union with God and is characterized by quiet stillness and simply resting in God's presence. Okay. However, it is important for us to understand that the anonymous author of the Cloud of Unknowing explains that contemplative prayer, and I like this, will not immediately enlighten or illumine you. Let me say that again. All right. So they think he's a monk. The monk who wrote The Cloud of Unknowing explains that contemplative prayer will not, and if you're saying, what is contemplative prayer? Just think of contemplate. Okay, you're in a state of contemplation, you know, open and receptive. He said that prayer will not immediately enlighten or illumine you. He admits, in fact, that it may seem initially like the most unilluminating practice and a complete waste of your time, okay? And I think many of us have had this experience. If you've been practicing any of the many forms of prayer or meditation, you may have felt at times that it is an unilluminating experience, okay? Thinking to yourself, I could have been watching football or whatever else it is you like to do, you know, that, you know, inspires you. But again, the anonymous author explains contemplation requires us to be still if we want to get acquainted with this discipline, because God cannot be grasped with our minds. See, that's the key. That's the idea of being of thy will be done. You know, just being simply open and receptive, because, you know, we just can't grasp God with our mind. God can only be grasped by our love. Okay. And Eric Butterworth explains in his book, He explains, but life is for loving. Is that the same? Go back. And go up again. Okay, I got it. Yeah, all right. Said, the very moment we release any bitterness, rise above any guilt, and stop feeling sorry for ourselves, is the moment we let God, who has always loved us with an everlasting love, be God in us, be God, be love in us. And this may lead us to feel a wonderful sense of freedom and healing right in the midst of a health challenge. Okay? But even with that being said, you know, the title of this lesson is Exploring the Reality that There is No One Prayer Formula for Curing Illness or anything else in our lives. There's no one formula for that. I think I've said that in other lessons. You know, don't let anybody tell you how you need to pray. That's why the title of this lesson is Pray in the Way of Your Heart, the way you feel to pray. Okay, and as this next author of the book called Saviors of God, he says, a prayer formula cannot be expressed, cannot be narrowed into words, cannot be subject to laws. Every person is completely free and has his or her own special liberation. No form of instruction exists. No savior exists to open up the road. No road exists to be opened. Okay? So I think that's enough for today. I'm going to end by sharing this final bit of wisdom. Okay? And it says, flow with whatever may happen and let your mind be free. Stay centered by accepting whatever you are experiencing, knowing that it is leading you to your highest good. Okay? And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So find that comfortable space right where you are, feet flat to the earth, spine straight, and let's take in three deep cleansing breaths. Breathe in and out. Breathe in and out. Once again, deeply in and slowly out. Continue with your rhythmic breathing, knowing that each breath that you bring into your body is the breath of God. And the breath of God is what you also exhale. The power of my thoughts and words move me close to the truth of my being. As we begin our meditation, allow your mind to relax and become still. You are centered, relaxed, and at peace as you focus on this intention. The power of my thoughts and words move me closer to the truth of my being. There is power in my words and thoughts, energizing, renewing, creative power. I take charge of my thoughts and words and the creative energy they contain to come into a greater God awareness. I am divine in nature, one with God. I release anything that contradicts my God nature, and I consciously choose that my thoughts and emotions and I choose my response to circumstances with awareness and intention. I unlearn old habit patterns and also limiting beliefs. I affirm and speak words of truth, releasing vital energy that invigorates my mind, body, and consciousness. If I should miss the mark, I pause and reflect, reset my focus, and move forward without shame or blame. I redirect my course and continue my journey forward, grateful for the wisdom gained. Nothing is stronger than the divine power and divine love within me. I use my power, my words, thoughts, and intentions to release good into the world. I use my power to uplift and inspire others. By the power within, I am a living expression of truth, and I bring good to the world. Now I ask that you take into the secret place of the highest what is on your heart and mind and prepare for answered prayer. We are thankful in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ, And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, come back to join us.
Thank you, hon.
Thank you. Hope we have a good discussion on that.
Yeah, really. So this is a time, you know, while we're into the new year, it's a time to, you know, be mindful of what you, the abundance that came into your life in 2023 and, you know, what you're expecting in 2024, knowing that you are going to be blessed, that you are being blessed this year. Even with the challenges that we may be going through, we always have to recognize our blessings. So with that in mind, we're going to do our prosperity prayer where we are actually saying this to ourselves and to the spirit of our own being, that we are thankful for the blessings in our life. So let's say this together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen. And then our offering blessing, of course, is, you know, being mindful of our spiritual home, our willingness to support our spiritual home. So we hold our offering in our hand, in our mind, in our spirit as we say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. And now you have light notes.
Light notes, yes. Light notes for today, Sunday, January the 21st. January is nearly over. Good grief. Anyway, it's once again time to consider our annual commitments. This is about our internal reflections and commitment to our spiritual growth in consciousness and creating the life that we want to live. The fillable forms can be found in your updates and your e-newsletter. Join us for our next in-person service on Sunday, February the 4th at 10:30 a.m. with special music from Jennifer Pardee. Sunday, February 11th, 10:30 a.m. with Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, who will bring us the message, and an afternoon metaphysical rump discussion immediately following the service. Both will be on Zoom. Wednesday, February the 14th, which is also Valentine's Day, Lent begins. Let go and let God. The Lent discussion group begins at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays through March 27th, and Joe Blackstone, Kathleen Bailey, and April May will be facilitating those discussions. And the last announcements, Unity Center of Light is looking for a few good candidates to fill positions on the Board of Trustees starting April of 2024. Board members are expected to understand basic unity principles and demonstrate integrity and commitment. You can talk to Patty if you need more information about that. Okay, that concludes our announcements.
So,
now it's time to bless the path that we both and all of us together will be walking this week. We are going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. So let's state together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right, let's go right to our prayer for protection. Mm-hmm.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's our pleasure to bring you this service today. We hope that you guys have dug out of the snow and are able to get around. But stay safe, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.